Governor Rick Snyder just signed a new law this week to update Michigan's sentencing policies to reflect that Supreme Court decision. But that doesn't settle what happens to Matthew Bentley.
I was 14 years old to be in a rush to be a man. I made a mistake, and 14 years later, I'm still in prison, missing out on everything I was in a rush to get.
That is Bentley from a podcast provided by the American Civil Liberties Union. Bentley shot and killed a woman during a break-in at her home. He says he would take it all back if he could.
I sometimes think about what could have happened, what could have been different. There's a possibility I could have went down a different path had I gotten some better advice, had I been shown a better way, had I actually had a role model.
Because of the U.S. Supreme Court decision, juveniles convicted of murder or aiding and abetting in a murder now must have a hearing that takes into account their circumstances, abuse or neglect, how culpable they were in the crime, things like that. The court said the absence of that made automatic life without parole for juveniles cruel and unusual punishment. Now the ACLU and three juvenile lifers are suing the state. They say if automatic life without parole is unconstitutional going forward, then that same logic should apply to those earlier 350-plus cases, some of which date back to the early 1960s. Kimberly Thomas is a law professor with the University of Michigan's Juvenile Justice Clinic. She says we've learned a lot in recent years about shortcomings in how the legal system deals with juveniles. She says teenagers are often poor clients.
So it's hard to get them to understand the choices that they're making, and especially when faced with, you know, what might be good plea bargains, they just aren't, as a general rule, making good choices.
Thomas says representing minors is a unique set of skills that most defense attorneys just don't have. And she says the proof of that is how often juveniles get tougher sentences than adults involved in the same murders, even when the juvenile was only an accessory to the crime. The decision in this case before the state Supreme Court will likely turn on a legal nuance. To win, the juvenile lifers have to show the U.S. Supreme Court decision represents a substantive change in their legal rights. The state, on the other hand, is arguing it's not, that this was a procedural decision. It has no bearing on their guilt or innocence, and that means there's no responsibility to go back and correct their sentences. But this is not a nuance for another group of people closely following this case.
We're the innocent. We deserve some kind of closure to this.
Jody Robinson's brother was murdered by a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old, and she says don't call that a mistake. Robinson gets angry, visibly upset, when she hears that teens are sentenced to, quote, die in prison.
They weren't sentenced to die, period. They were sentenced to live the rest of their life in prison. They're living. They're not dead. And there's a big difference between the two.
Robinson says families like hers will never get their loved ones back, and changing the rules now would deny them the measure of peace that once came with finality in their cases. For the Michigan Public Radio Network, I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.